Good morning. Colleagues, can we just stay seated so that we can start with the meeting? As we have taken a decision yesterday, colleagues, that I will continue leading you until such time that the chair is back. We have to proceed. But before we proceed, colleagues, we have received a number of apologies this morning. Honorable Minister attending Cabinet, the Deputy Minister of Six, Honorable Munguni, Family Matters, Mr. Kerekulu, attending Kaka, those are the two apologies that we have this morning. Now what we'll do is that we will only allow the department to do the introduction of your led by the DG. Today's agenda, nothing else but a continuation of the engagement we have already started with the department entities. Today we're dealing with the briefing on the Department of Water and Sanitation policies. So policies starting from legislation, regulation, the clear foundation of the department of So we'll hear from the department what are the plans. We have been promised a water master plan for quite some time now. And to date, I'm not sure where we are, but I think we'll be able to be taken through today. The amendment and bringing in new legislation, which has been there since I joined the committee. And I hope that today we'll then know where we stand, because these are, the cornerstone of water resources in our country, and therefore in the foundation of where the department would have to work from. So, DG, without waste of time, members are here with our support staff. You can therefore introduce yourself again, the team with you, the team with you, so that they will get to know who is the leader of the doing presentation. And then members, as normal, will note the issues, and then we'll allow members to ask questions and clarities. Let's make it more of an interactive session rather than, this formal thing. If members feel like they want further, presentations on these issues, we'll have to do that until such time that we are satisfied. But I think one of the things that you must know is that it is our core work as members of parliament, because the sooner the department brings in a bill before this committee will have been taken through, and therefore it helps us, in fact, to be at the initial stage of the processes that the department is going to be presenting. At some point, once the bills are before parliament and the committee of parliament has interacted with the department, it becomes the bill of parliament. So the committee can then do as it wants with that particular piece of legislation, a public hearing, whatever, that we'll have to go through. And then we then take the ownership of it by passing it to the legislature. So those are, a parliamentary processes of the lawmaking. So it's one of our core functions, what we'll be dealing with this morning. So on that note, DJ, you're on the floor again. Today we're very calm, it's not like yesterday's meeting. Honorable Basson, today will be very calm. We will not have much questions about tenders. But those issues that we have dealt with yesterday, Mr. Speaker, we have to note, especially in the report, we have to note those issues that we not agree with, those discrepancies in the report, so that before the final adoption of such issues that were identified by the committee yesterday, The department will have to rectify those issues that they identify. And again, you recall that we have agreed that next week we will still have a follow-up on the construction unit, the construction unit, and other related matters that we have raised yesterday, which will be a follow-up from the interaction with the department. This will then help us. By the time we get to the adoption of the budget in the House, we'll have resolved all of these issues. If not, we're not going to pass the budget. It must be known. That's the standard. We normally take, because you can't go with halfway. Everything has to be resolved before all of us go in debate and then adopt the what's called the budget. So on that note, thank you very much. DP, you're on the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members of the committee, good morning to everybody. With me here is, my name is Dan Matisse, with me is the GDG of Corporate Support Services, Mr. Fire Matangu. I'm sure he's a big man. And next to me is there's also the Deputy Director General, Mr. Ramuleniwa Pichunia. And we have the Chief Director of Legal Services, Mr. Zello. And of course, you know, Shoki and then our other staff. Secretary of Support. I would just say, I think the Chairperson has already indicated that the aim of this presentation, and I believe that the Honorable Members have the copy, it's just to take you through what is still going to be coming to you later on, so that you have a bite as early as now about what we are intending to do. So you may find that in the presentation there's reference to the bill, but I think that, as you know, the document is not yet available. So really, it's not even a draft bill, but it's just an indication of where we're going. The processes of the bill and so on will of course ensue later on. So don't be misled when it says National Water and Sanitation Bill. That is just what would happen later on. For example, once the document is approved by cabinet, then it will get to parliament, and that will be around November this year. But we thought that we should just share with you our portfolio committee. So I'll just take you through the rationale for why we think there should be this piece of legislation, and the key drivers, and then Mr. Zello will then take you through the roadmap, because the process has already started to tell us how far we are. I must also clarify that this is not, we're not presenting a water and sanitation master plan. This is just more about the legislative framework that but the master plan will be presented here, I think around the 14th of June. Now, the main rationale behind this whole thing, Chairperson, is that, as you know, there are two pieces of legislation that really govern the work of this department, and that is the water the Water Services Act and the National Water Act. So the intention here is that those two pieces of legislation must be met so that you have got only one legislative server. Because at the moment you have to juggle between the Water Services Act and the National Water Act. So we want to bring the two together to avoid situations where sometimes you might have conflict of laws between the two if they remain separate and so on. So that is the rationale behind this whole thing. Now, in terms of the key drivers to this legislative reform, we will look into the National Water and Sanitation Master Plan, which I have already indicated. It will be presented here around the 14th. And the issue of water as the center of, as we say, water is life and sanitation is dignity. You will find that without water, a whole lot of things can happen, and I think that the context behind that mega nexus. Water is very key to life. We will take into consideration the ownership of water and sanitation infrastructure. We'll look at the differential levels of service for sanitation, the appropriate technologies for sanitation solutions. I know that yesterday when we talked, that even the minister is referred to when we were talking about the bucket eradication program. There was talk of new technologies on sanitation, that it means it doesn't necessarily have to be water-borne and so on. So that would also be part of, would be taken care of in the legislation. Application of appropriate authorizations and or licensing for water use and so on. The setting of tariffs for the whole then changed into levels of service and economic conditions. The linkage between special training and water and sanitation master plan. Consideration of departmental legislation setting on water and sanitation. The Water Service Association, basic education, human settlement, the user and polluter pay principles will be covered in the legislation. Now, just in terms of the policy positions, the issue relating to water for equitable use, as in use it or lose it, the appropriate actions to be taken to ensure registration and replacement by a license of all the existing lawful water use. That's what that ELU means. No water trading between authorized water users. So there's a piece of legislation would work on that. No form of temporary or permanent trading between authorized water users. Water which is no longer utilized to surrender cash to the minister. So those would be some of the things. And third one, they're prioritizing social and economic equity in reallocation of water, i.e. decision making and the reallocation of water will be as the primary consideration. Fourth one, multiple user approach in planning infrastructure, planning of bulk water infrastructure put in consideration, participatory planning approaches will be adopted to avoid conflict over allocations to different purposes or users. Number five, to be considered on the policy met access to basic water supply, the right of basic amount of water and basic sanitation service that is affordable. And there that's a reference to the constitutional imperative of universal access to water and sanitation services. Another consideration, number six, free basic water supply to indigent households, because I think as members may as well know that at the moment you have a basic water rendered to the poor and the rich. Now in this legislation we believe that that will be clarified once and for all, so that there shouldn't be any basic water rendered to those who can afford, no basic free water. So it must only be that the indigent will be the ones who will get a free basic water, and not the rich. The rich must buy. But at the moment that is a distortion. Number seven, institutional arrangements and governance, i.e. the establishment, powers and functions of the catchment management agencies, water boards, water service authorities, and so on. The establishment of the water user associations and the irrigation boards, and making them within the CMA. But I think this is just something that would have to be discussed. So can we establish the water use association or in the irrigation boards and create and make them with the catchment management agencies? Would that be the best way of doing it? I think as this in the process, this is a matter that could be clarified. Number eight, appeal functions to be aligned with the NEMA. Another appeal mechanism. NEMA, the National Environmental Management Act, it has got its own appeal processes, but we also have so we believe that the legislation would assist in clarifying that in terms of appeal to the Minister of Mediation and Arbitration. Now, Chairperson, that is just in terms of the what we believe are the fundamental policies or principles that underpin the need for this one piece of legislation amalgamating or merging the two existing pieces of legislation. Because we believe that if you look at the Water Services Act and the National Water Act, there are still gaps that we believe in the one legislation that we are propagating, those issues could be, those gaps could be plugged. Now, with your permission, Chairperson, I would allow the Chief Director of Legal Services to take us through the roadmap insofar as this matter is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you, DC.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. The progress in relation to the bill is as follows. Around May 2015, we produced the first version of the bill and had an internal consultation within the different chief directorates of the department to get further input. And around June, July 2015, we also, following on the inputs that we received, we then refined the bill further, which led to a workshop which we held on the 23rd and 24th of July 2015. The workshop included the water board, the CMAs, and different directorates within the department. Then in July of 2015, the then DG constituted the DG's technical committee. The technical committee was to assist with some of the information that may lie somewhere within the different entities of the department. And it was also to make input into the bill. On the 11th of August 2015, there was a presentation by the different by the leader of the that technical task committee, Mr. the chairman, the CEO of Groundwater. And a subsequent meeting was held to deliberate further on some of the principles in the bill in Cape Town. And the another one was also held in October of 2015. After that meeting, then there was a further refinement of the bill, which led to the presentation of the bill before the departmental top management on the 15th of February 2015. The aim was to seek input from the top management, which inputs were made, and further refinement of the bill had to be made. And in July of 2016, we then sought approval of the Director General to consult with other government departments. That consultation workshop followed on September of 2016, and we got input from different government departments, COCTA and Treasury and Human Settlement and other departments were invited and attended that meeting and made quite a lot of input. Resulting from that workshop, we then had to refine the bill based on the input that we received. But what also happened simultaneously was that there was a process of developing the national sanitation policy, which delayed the bill a bit in the sense that we had to now wait for the approval of the policy, which happened in December of last year. And we had to then refine the bill further to incorporate the sanitation policy into the bill. What then is to happen in this month is that we submit a bill to both the DG and the minister, rather the cabinet memo to both the minister and the DG, who must approve that further consultation with the cluster must take place. Simultaneously, what we also did was that Cabinet, I think it was last year, Cabinet approved the social community assessment tool, which must be used in the assessment of any, whether it's legislation, policy, or regulation. So we've done that process also to see whether or not what we are trying to introduce, what are the risks, whether it doesn't have unintended consequences, so that if in fact it turns out that there are risks, or the unintended consequences, we need to change our policy position or the legislation to ensure that we cater for those risks. What will then happen is that in June of this year, the bill will be presented before the social cluster, but it will be the technical working group of the social cluster. And later in the same month, then the bill will be presented before the cluster. In July of this year, we'll then have to submit the bill to the State Law Advisor for preliminary certification. This is a requirement that before the bill reaches Cabinet, the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor should have certified the bill to say it is in compliance with the Constitution, so that we do not develop legislation that is not in keeping with the Constitution. After that process, the Minister will then present the bill to Cabinet. The aim of that presentation then is to ask Cabinet to allow the department to go and consult people outside government, or all the members of the public need to be consulted. You will note that the consultation process will take about 90 days. It is what is required currently in terms of the National Water Act. It takes 90, but ordinarily, if it was not provided for in this specific legislation that you want to amend, we would do it within around 6 weeks or so. And that process, that consultation process, will start from August of this year. The tool that I said Cabinet approved last year would also require that there must be now a final report based on the inputs that we have received, the final certification in terms of that tool. And we must also simultaneously record all the comments that we have received from members of the public, and then incorporate them into the bill to produce a final bill. At the same time, we expect that the state law advisor will then have given us a final certification on the bill to say this bill is now ready, and it can then go to cabinet, which will be around the same month of August. The purpose of that, of now approaching cabinet this time, will be to ask cabinet to approve that the bill must be then presented again to the different clusters. We have presented a CAP memo to the DG and the minister again after having incorporated all the inputs from members of the public. And then again we'll have to go through the social cluster to say after the public consultation is approved by cabinet, that will be in September, we have now reworked the bill, and the DG will have to present it again before the social cluster, which will be in October of this year. And then after that, the bill will go back to cabinet and to ask cabinet to approve that the bill must be submitted or on a table in parliament, at which point the bill then becomes the property of parliament or the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Members, here is a presentation. It deals with the last part deals with the process in which the department has already embarked on from 2015. The first part, which was presented by the DG, deals with the objective generally, why is it necessary to amend or to bring in, you know, a new piece of legislation. Maybe what we should do is then to open up for members to ask questions and clarities around this presentation. As I said, that it's a good partnership that the department has started, so that we, as a committee, are informed of the process that the department is embarked on. The end product, obviously, will have to come to Parliament, for Parliament to do its necessary work. Now, maybe to open with one or two questions, and then these questions may be informed by what is it that we are transforming? I don't want to get into the details of your work already, but has the department sort of spent time just to reflect on the issue of water and what informs these amendments? You have spoken about them, but I want us to talk around the issues of transformation generally. What is it that we are transforming? Have we satisfied ourselves that we now understand water itself? We understand water resource to an extent that we can now be sure that if we're to bring in this new piece of legislation, we'll be able to sort of help us to transform the water sector. Maybe the politics of it. You may want to just, you know, as much as you have identified those key areas. The issues of stakeholder, I hear that the director spoke of a public consultation. Have you identified key stakeholders, rather than just general public? If so, who are your key targets when it comes to issues of stakeholder, especially so that we then have an understanding of your approach to consultation? Because consultation may not just be public, but it may be a particular targeted stakeholder that you want to interact with, especially the water users in particular. And the ownership. In the process, how does the black component come in into the water space? Meaning that the disadvantage, rather than only at the level of indigents that they can get free water. How do you bring in, because water is business at the same time, right? How do you bring in the black component? I'm correct to put it, because it's transformatory, it's revolutionary. So I have to put it in this fashion, as much as we may talk about the you know, the radical economic transformation, but how do we bring in an element of participation of black component of the population into the water space? In that what's called, I mean that it's part of the discussion that we have now opened. We may want to explore further. Maybe this exercise will then be able to, you know, help us to deal with the whole question of transformation in general. Because I think those are my first few, you know, comments. Colleagues, can we open for you to come in? Ms. Vika can come in.
Thank you. I think you questioned the whole, well, okay, the process was this public consultation is still coming. But the process of merging the two apps, that hasn't happened as yet. So when we're looking at this piece of legislation, this proposed legislation, where does it fit in? Because now, are we aligning it with the both apps? Or we can't align it with the proposed new act that isn't in existence as yet. So the long-term impact of that, are we now going to have to review the act in future once, this piece of legislation, the policy, once the new act is enacted? And then the sanitation policy, we haven't received that yet. We haven't, have we? We haven't. Not that I'm aware of.
No. I'm told that it has been emailed.
Titi spoke about something that was passed in approved in December last year.
Mm.
What is this? The same drop. Okay, I'm getting the two mixed up. Thank you. And then also, the mandate of the department. I think we may be getting the waters a bit muddied. We are not really responsible for the bulk infrastructure. We cannot dictate what happens with indigent registers and who gets free water and who doesn't at local government level. As a minister spoke to us yesterday, she's got nothing to do with what happens. I mean, she basically raised her hand and said, I've got nothing to do with what happens down there. But now we're saying we want to go into that space. What is it? Which one is it? We must actually decide what is our role, what is our responsibility here? Because I'm sure COPSA's responsibility, not ours. And something. Okay, the other departments. The departments, I don't see mentioned. You've mentioned other departments that were consulted. Departments of Minerals, Mining, because I think a huge portion of our water problem comes from the mining sector. The pollution of the... So were they consulted? And Departments of Environment as well. Both those two departments, their work and the legislation they passed has a major impact on our Okay. Yeah, my main problem was with the three basic households. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chris. This won't come the process. It's like this is the basic issue, but it's a process, not yet at the. But the issue, Chair, which I think Honorable Baker tried to deal with, it relates to the local government. My question is how this is going to affect the system that that gives local government certain power as far as water is concerned. That's what I want to know.
Raoul Baton?
I think it's now the first time we get legislation before us. May I ask, maybe our content advisor just to explain to us, and sorry I went out there, I had a recent call. Explain to us the process from here. How do we get involved as a committee, white paper, green paper? So if she can advise us on that, so that we understand the process as well. The content, our content advisor. Sarim Dawood.
Sarim. Yeah. Sarim. Oh, okay. No, notice. You'll come in. You'll come later.
Okay. Can we? More questions? Mkaula?
Ngibonga sihlalo olusukufika late imoto zesifazi. No, ngithi mina ngibonga i-presentation lapha abayithulayo. Kodwa mina nginenkinga engiphethe kami. Uyabona amagama ayashintsha or imithetho iyashintsha eqondene namanzi. Kuqala bekuwater affairs. Washintsha kwa water and sanitation. Ngesikhathi kushintsha, sacabanga ukuthi mhlawumbe kukhona enye indlela okuzoshintsha ngayo ukusebenzela. Yingakho ngiye ngilungisa thina okwethu akufani nama-official wona anjobe ehleli la. Ahlalele wona ahambi la yokufundela lo msebenzi. Kuhlukela ngokusebenza thina njengoba sila. Simele imiphakathi nama-constituents ethu esingabo la ePhalamende ukubheka ukuthi iy'ngqalazinto ziyenzeka. So ngiqonda ukuchaza ukuthi kube water affairs ekugcineni azange uxazuze inkinga thina esibhekene nayo phansi kubantu. Manje kwashintsha kwasekuthiwa no seku-water and sanitation. Nakhona ngesikhathi ngendlela mayisweni ibeka ngayo emnandi ngayo kuba sangazi ukuthi khona ushintsho ekuthile still alukho ushintsho. Ngibuyele kwena sihlalo wami into eyikhulumayo nami nginenkinga ukubusha ukuthi le mithetho eshintshwayo njengoba manje sekuzohlanganiswa lo mthetho lo wamanzi ukuthi usuzoba umthetho we-1. Thina njengoba simele abantu nabantu phansi uzobasiza ngani ngoba inhloso thina yethu la ukubona izinto zenzela not lento yoku-theorize njalo nje kukhulunywe. Thina sifuna izinto ukuyibona zenzeka phansi. That's why mina ngithi yes, angisho ukuthi ngi-wrong because nami nitrainwe ngendlela enitrainwe ngayo. Nathi thina sitrainwe abantu phansi njengoba sila ukuthi thina sifuna ini ukuthi abantu bafuna iy'nto zabo. Mina njengokwami angiyimboni ukuthi kusinceda ngani loo nto. Ngoba futhi okwesibili ngibonge ukuthi hlalo uyakuveza la indaba yokuthi abantu bakithi asibaboni beba yingxenye yale mithetho noma beba yingxenye yalolu shintsho. Kanjalo futhi laba bey'mayini okuyibona bona abasebenzisa amanzi ngalekwa nabantu laba esikubakhulumelayo lana abashoda ngamanzi ahlanzekile abashoda ngama-toilet. Asiboni beyingxenye la kuphela okwabo kuthiwa babheke balokhu behlaliswe njengabantu abahluphekayo. Ngiyabonga.
In summary, the Honourable Member said initially this department was known as Department of Water Affairs, then the name later changed to Water and Sanitation. She had assumed that when the department had changed names, maybe the services would improve as well, but up to today the services have not improved. She doesn't blame the officials for doing their duties. They are educated, they went to school to further their studies so that they could do their duty. So this is not, she doesn't put the blame on them. But she as a politician, she's there on behalf of her people. So the people on the ground expect her to come and deliver their grievances so that they can get help. So the main question is, how will merging these two acts assist the people on the ground? Because we might sit here and talk about debating these two laws, but in basic or in short, how will these two laws ensure that people on the ground, people who don't have water, people who don't have running toilets, people who don't have access to water, who sometimes have to share water with animals, how will these two laws assist the people on the ground, and how will it involve them, as the chair has initially stated, how can black people be involved? Thank you.
Department for presentation. My question is like another question for members. Which measures did you consider to make of water which is not used, as an example, oceans and mining? Thank you.
No, thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you. Beautiful. Okay. Can we get
Chairperson. I'll attempt to answer some, and then my other colleagues will also come in. I think just in terms of the transformation, I think we have outlined several issues that we believe need to be changed, so that because the essence with water and sanitation is that with the background in South Africa, you will find that the issue of accessibility, that all the citizens must have access to water and sanitation, and I think that is in the constitution. Now there is still a backlog. Not everybody not all the citizens are having access to water and sanitation services. So we believe that this act would, amongst other things, ensure that we expedite that universal access to water and sanitation services. Because at the moment it's moving at a slow pace, so we believe that through the legislation we can put some measures there to ensure that, especially on the sanitation side, but with water as well, in the rural areas, there's still a problem. So through legislation we believe we could help to just transform that. That is just on the accessibility, so there's affordability as well. Can all the citizens afford water and so on? And that's why we have, in some cases, basic water services as a constitutional prerogative. So the Act would we believe, ensure that there is that all people can afford in terms according to their use, so that you, and I think that's where we talk the tariff, that if you have, you use water for commercial purposes, mining and other industrial purposes, the tariff there should be such that it considers the fact that you get profit out of, you are profiting out of the water, and you have to pay according. Hence, the thing of the user, you pay according to your use. The sustainability also, we believe that the Act could assist. That area also needs to be transformed, because as you know, if there's no sustainability, you're gonna have this water, precious water resource, diminishing. So, but that will talk to issues of this, the security of the water. How do people use the water? Legislation would look into issues of punishing those who pollute the water and so on. So that it is a sustainable resource. It doesn't diminish and so on. So, in the Act, we believe that in those areas would be transformed. the youth, as the chairperson you said, it's not just for for domestic or commercial, but also licensing, because that area basically we still find that it's more the historically advantage to have licenses for water use and so on, but the majority of other people who would want to use, there's still a gap there. So in the legislation we believe that that licensing would go more towards those who need it.
Maybe before that, maybe part of what you may want to share with the committee, the work that we have done with regard to the ownership of water, have you done work just to know that this water resource in South Africa, who owns it and where is it? Who controls, what percentage of water is under the state control? How much percentage of water that is under private control? And therefore, what informs this piece of legislation? Are we saying that everything that is water will be under the state control? Maybe you just, the work that was done that led to this arrangement. Because I think we've been grappling with the ownership for quite some time in the committee. And the question that we've been asking throughout is being, who owns the water? You know, is the state now going to take control of water, or is the state in charge of water in the country? When we talk water, we talk every drop of water that we have harvested, or in the dams, or the rivers that flow. Who is in charge? Who's in control of that? Maybe you may want to talk to us, maybe together with your people, I mean, not only you, DG Fed, and the team that is here, with just to have that. If you recall the workshop we have had, Go Beachwood, the question that was coming out of that workshop was that ownership of water, who owns water? Now, if we are now going to be bringing in an act that's going to be like a finance act, a bill that will then bring in the two together, without addressing the ownership generally, maybe in the bill we will then zoom into the issues of ownership into that was called. And I have not picked it up in your presentation that you sort of want to really assert the state to be in control of water as a resource in the country. Maybe you may, as we do that, DG, responding to other questions, this point sort of comes in now. Maybe we need to respond to it so that, I mean, look at the mining, for example. The state then took a decision to say all the mineral wealth of the country belongs to the state. Right? So there's no diamond, gold, anything, zinc, manganese, iron ore, everything belongs to the state. For you to get into access to, you have to apply for mining rights. And that is processes, you know. So maybe you, as we do that with water resource, let's get to that particular part of the ownership of water as a resource that is under control of who? So yeah, we can proceed. I'm not saying that these questions are quite very important. They need to be responded to move forward.
Yes. Okay, as I said, my colleagues will answer some of the questions, but I think I can safely say that water belongs to the state. So that, you've got water in various areas of the rivers, you have the dams, you have to, so first and foremost, it belongs to the state, and then anyone who, you can have private users. But that's why the act would say for anyone who wants to do anything with
that's fine. Give him let's know. I said that we're going to have what we call an interactive session.
Yeah.
The question answer is fine, but at some point if you want to make an intervention, you know, don't feel bad with the consultation process, right?
Yes.
I'm saying that I'll allow them, in fact, to make a follow-up on the point that you are making.
Yes.
So that all of us, it will be like in a interacting form, right? I don't understand, question, raise, answer, question, then thank you very much. If you pick up anything, you must just raise your hand
And I will ask you, whoever wants to begin, just to pause a little bit and then get that response.
Yes.
Yeah. By the time we leave here, all of us will be at one, by the way.
Yes.
All right.
In terms of ownership, I was saying all other things being equal, the state would own the water. But then, because people would have properties and so on, and find that within your property there's some water resource and so on, that's where the private. But even then, the use of water. No one is supposed to like if you do a borehole in your the state must allow you to do that, which means you don't say, this is my yard and therefore I do a borehole and no one must tell me. No, you still have to go to the state to apply for the usage of, because now you are extracting water underneath and so on. So there's private kind of ownership, but it doesn't completely exclude the state from saying how you should use that water. But then on the whole, of course, then there's water that is now in the catchment or in the dams and so on. There are more than 4,000 dams in the country, but then again you have just over 300, I think 341 of the dams that are owned by the department, for example, about 341 dams. Yeah. Now, so, but then the 4,000.
Abadayisela abantu amanzi.
Okay.
Kanjalo futhi nabamavate kukani badayisela abantu amanzi. Lawa ka-government noma lawa wethu as a water and sanitation i-committee. Manje ufuna sase la uyabuza uhlalo uthi amanzi akabani uthi aka-government. Izolo kuthiwa akekho umuntu onemvume yokusebenzisa amanzi eceleni noma ayikho private. And that's the touch of God that's come as
a family. No, the point is made, Mom Kaula. You've made the point because that's what we are trying to get into, the ownership of man who owns water. Now, the presentation I would be duty, when I'm a dam, about 4,000, only 300 are controlled by our government, the department. So the rest, the Safunuguz are here with you. La amanye amanzi lama damu asele lawa are almost 4,000, 3,000 boma 700 aphethe ubani one. That's the point that we're getting into. But maybe we can interpret quickly so that colleagues can go on far. But let's respond. I've suspended the Honorable Bioka to come in, and Honorable Bashon Makonde, you can still come back with your follow ups. In fact, let's allow this follow up, DJ. Basol, you can come in. And then no vehicle will come in, and then Makonde will come in, and then we'll just continue in that line. And then, but try and respond to earlier questions again. At that point, my even legal. Okay. Yes, Basol.
Chairperson, the act is, I won't say silent, but you know, there are private water and government-owned water in the catchment area. All we know is that the minister is the custodian of water. There's a difference between a custodian of water and who owns water. So you know, the answer of the DG is his opinion. What does the Act say? That's what we want to know. And if the Act is silent on it, then we must deal with it. Because that question will never be answered. I think that is the question that's been asked the most in this portfolio committee since I became a member here. And there is nobody that comes to us to say, Act, this is what the Act stipulates. All we know is the Constitution says the minister is the custodian of water. And if you can read the Act stipulates the minister must protect the water, make sure it's not polluted, and it's managed. That's all the Act says. Unless someone else brings me another portion in the Act that says that if I drill a borehole on my property, then the minister, the department becomes the owner. If that is the case, then they must pay me out for that borehole and then they can put a meter on it. So, Chair, if he hasn't got the answer, if he hasn't got an answer, they must come back with an answer. Because we cannot every meeting sit here. They must come and say the Act is silent on it, and the water that we control through our dams, that we owe and that we charge. But what a farmer builds a dam and he catches up rainwater, that water is his water. It's not at this moment controlled. The only thing that happened was there is a regulation that went out last year before last, and it was in Kizi was acting where he said in the drought period that if you've got boreholes, you're not allowed to extract more than 40,000 liters. And then I spoke to Anel Singh about it, and I said, is that now per borehole, is it on total, because the Act was, or this regulation was not clear, and he said, no, he doesn't know.
Okay. So this, you can tell him, followed by Makonde.
Thank you, Chair. That was exactly my point. There's a difference between ownership and custodianship, and we need to clarify this too. I would suggest that the department benchmarks with countries where they do have ownership, where the state owns the water. For example, in Israel, water has been nationalized, and therefore it is owned by the state. So even to put a jojo tank in your yard, you would need to have a permit for that. And that is ownership. In our case, we don't have ownership, we have custodianship. And there's a very, very big difference. So when we, and that difference, Chair, will greatly influence the policy and our legislation that we formulate. Because it allows certain jurisdiction on one hand and restricts on the other hand.
Okay.
So I think we need to start there before we move down.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to give the department to speak now, and long as you want to speak and respond to these issues. Eh? Makonde, you can come in.
Yeah. Thank you. You see, why you have 4,000 dams in the country and the department only owns 300 odd, it's because of that. And the question which the chair is raising that relates to how does this deal that you are bringing seek to transform the state. You must not feel dull about that teaching. You must go straight specifically to there, because that's where the problem is. Thank you.
Okay. Now let's give it, did you take your time, do I know? How much time do we have, colleagues, today? We have until 4 o'clock, yeah? Huh? We have until 12.
Yeah.
What's the time now?
It's half past.
10. This is 10. So it's 11. 11. 12. So we have 2 hours. DJ, I can give you as much time you want with your team now.
Okay, Chairperson. I think the just the typical nature of water, the ownership, water and so on, in itself, I mean, from just in what we are talking about, it shows how important it is that you have a legislation that is very clear as to what is this thing, who does what, and so on. So that there's no, where the Constitution says this and the legislation, subsequent legislation is silent and so on, legislation must say something. So I think as we transform this legislative framework, we believe that some of the very good ideas that have come up here would be accommodated in the Act. Now, I think that when it comes to these, because I know when you say 4,000, there are 4,000 dams out there that are owned by people and so on. But I'm saying those dams, the control and maybe that custodianship and so on. Although it might be someone's dam or whatever, but the state still has control over that, to say how you use that and so on, and sometimes it could be depending on, some people have a license to use, but that license can be revoked. Okay, you just have a license, the water use license, so it can be revoked. But let me talk about Chairperson about this 341 dam owned by government. Those 341.
Just the use of words there, that's just exactly the point. It's a water use license,
yes.
Not a water ownership license.
Yes, you use
so,
it.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Okay. So the ownership. Now, 92% of the water resource, okay, is under these 341 dams, 92%, okay. So your 4,000 then help the 8, okay. So which I think that is what. So the government, these big dams and so on, the government owns very big dams, okay. So the 4,000, it actually goes into the definition of what is a dam, because there are 4,000, but all of them, in a way, you've got about 8% of the water resource that is in the 4,000. And then they are dams in terms of the difference. So that's what I'm saying, there shouldn't be a big panic, okay? Because the 341, that's really where the water resource is. And that is under government, okay? But again, when you go into the 4,000 and so on, as to who is controlling that and who has the license, what they use the license and so on. So those are the transformation issues. But I'm just saying it shouldn't be as if the government is powerless here. You know, this thing, 4,000 is under private, okay? So look at what is in there. The bulk of the water resource is still under government, because the bigger dams are owned by government. Now, I think, remember, Becker, you asked a question about what is going to happen to this other piece of legislation, because now we have the Water Services Act and the National Water Act. Now, the intention here is that we are going to, when this act is done, when it becomes the act, you disestablish, you repeal the existing two pieces of legislation. So then you have one. So this seeks to repeal those two pieces and bring them into one act. Okay, but still there are, we still have options. Remember, there's no sanitation act. Okay, so the option here is that we believe that if you have all under one act, it is better. You won't have conflict of legislation and so on. But the other option is you can remain with the Water Services Act, also leave the Water Act intact, but then have the third legislation, which is now Sanitation Act. So you will have three pieces of legislation. So we are saying, ideally, instead of having three pieces of legislation out there purporting to talk about water and so on, with the probability of a conflict of laws, rather have one, okay? So I mean, you could have chapters in the one act, where the one chapter will talk water services authorities, you know, things that are in the Water Services Act, and then you have the other one talking about Water Resources, the Water Act, and then the other portion talking about sanitation. But it's in one piece of legislation. So that's what we would want to achieve. Now, the Water Services Authorities, the municipalities, remember, local government is not the custodian, so to say, of the Water Services Act. the national department is the custodian of that act, not the in the municipalities. They are water service authority. In the same way that you have the water board as the water provider. Now, so both the providers and the authorities, the municipalities and the water entities, they are governed by the Water Services Act. But that act, in terms of who really ensures that it is implemented and so on, and that the water quality issues and are taken into consideration, that the water service authorities do not... for example, it is this department that gives the authority to the water. For example, if we decide whether the district can be afforded the water service authority status or the local municipality. So so that act is pretty much within this the control of this department, and it's not controlled anywhere else. And we can revoke that water service authority status. It's still this department. So I thought that must be just be verified. I'm going to then. Okay,
all right, that's fine. Kiran,
the question about whether the new act will make service delivery sense. We believe that as we improve and transform, there must be more accessibility. More people must be able to access water for commercial, domestic, or industrial use. More people, especially those who were historically excluded. We believe that the act must actually ensure that that is expedited. Because at the moment, for example, the licenses take 300 days, whatever, and so on before you. So the act, we believe, will deliberately, you know, outline procedures and so on, which will ensure that we expedite access to the majority. But this is as you
can. Can I just ask a question
here
on this point of on the point of transformation, did you, with the consultation that you have gone through with other stakeholders? Well, what is the key area identified that we can then say that with this approach that you are taking, we talk, because it's a point that the Honorable Makonde asked you, that are we shying away to zoom into reality? And reality is that there are very few, as much as you might now say that it's only small percentage, if you call it 8%, which is privately owned, right? 92% is under state control. So what is the issue of transformation, therefore? What is it that we want to transform? If the state is in control of water, what is it that we are going to transform?
But again, Chair, in addition to your issue, I don't agree with DG when he speaks about this 8%. In my area, where I come from, DG, there's a farm. It's known very well in the country. You know that farm. He closed the stream that is supposed to take water to the dam, the Middle Tower Dam. And it's almost 20 years. Government is begging to stop that farmer from closing that particular stream. And you are saying it's 8%. It can't be, because the department is shying away from dealing with this issue of ownership of water.
Okay.
But that's fine, DG. Yes, ma'am. You can come in.
Chief, I'm getting a bit confused. Is it COXA or is it DWF that grants municipalities their status?
Okay. All right, let me give... Okay. That's fine. I recommend that this choir, he has not spoken in the meeting. Let's give Mr. Masango the number of this. did you see him? Let me not interfere with whom I speak, but I think if I see him raising a hand, I thought.
As I said, we were him here. So, Chairperson, I'm going to. I would allow the Chief Director, Legal Services, he will be coming in. But before I give over to him, Chairperson, the boreholes, okay? If you have any extraction of water, okay? No person has the authority to extract water without being authorized by the department. Now, even if you have you want to do a borehole in your yard, okay, you need to be given that authority, because the thing is, if you extract water in your own, what we have found is that sometimes you're extracting and you don't test anything and so on, and that water is harmful for human use and so on. And you any extraction, my understanding is that you do not go and extract water anywhere without authorization. Now, the Chairperson, to your question about if government has the 92% insofar as the water in the dams is concerned, it's just like the land. A whole lot of land, some of it is in private hands, some of it is in the government. So when you transform, okay, government would say, okay, the land that is under my control, what do I do with it vis-a-vis what the people who want land? So you can decide, government can decide that, okay, with the land that I have, as part of transformation, we give this percentage to those who don't have land, but then the land that is in private hands, there's also issues of saying, as part of transformation, there's an act that allows expropriation. Okay, so this water issue as well, you can look at it along those lines. There's land that, I mean, there's water that is owned by state. There's water owned by, now if you transform, we do say, okay, those ones who are this dam, this and so on, and we're gonna, you want to expropriate part of it, or you want, you know. So, but that, those are the things that must come in the legislation, so that ultimately there must be universal access to the water resource. It's within the, I mean, US legislators, you can decide. But with those few Chairperson, I would want to then allow the Chief Director to come in.
The question still standing, and Makonda put it directly and blankly, and everybody I think here in the meeting here, we deal with the issue of who owns the water. And the point that the Honorable Makonda was making was that there's a stream that supplies, in fact, the river. The farmer decides to block that stream, meaning that more than 300,000 of the population in that area would not have access to water. So someone that owns this dam under the 8%, either is 1.1%, whatever number you may allocate him, decided to block the stream because he owns the water in that particular region. He owns the water. He owns it. He's not leasing, he owns it. Talk to us, Chief Director, to some laughs in a little. I think colleagues, this engagement help us to prepare ourselves. By the time the bill comes before this parliament must tear that bill apart, meaning that we must hit it to a point that we are, because for now it's bureaucrats that we're dealing with. They'll bring it, like the point that is made by Mam Kauda, that we are sent to represent about, we are sent by the people here. So when that bill comes before us, Mam Kauda, we must do that very justice that it deserves, meaning that we must take it apart and put in a content that we believe would speak to transformation of the water sector for the benefit of everyone in the country. But let's proceed. Director, you can come in.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just start by answering the last question that was asked by the Honorable Baker. On who between the department and COPTA assigns the function of Water Services Authority. the function of the Water Services Authorities in terms of the Municipal Systems Act. Mm-hmm. If you are a district municipality, by operation of law, you are a Water Services Authority in terms of that legislation. Just by being established as a district municipality, automatically you are a Water Services Authority. Then there are instances where there could be local government that seeks to provide water services and wants to be a Water Services Authority. The Minister of Culture can then assign that function. But what we are saying is that we have total local municipality become a Water Services Authority. But I think the position that you are saying that now that we have some experience around the inability of some of the local government municipalities to be a Water Service Authority, that there needs to be engagement with our department. But I want to go back to the question of the ownership of water.
Then you agree that it is COPTA and not DWS's function? Thank you.
Okay. No, I think what I'm saying, let me.
Okay, that's fine, guys.
Okay, I'm saying in terms of the Municipal Systems Act, once a district municipality is established, it automatically becomes a Water Services Authority. Then there are instances where a local government may want to become a Water Services Authority. In that case, the Minister of Culture must then assign that function to a local government. You must make a determination on whether or not, in fact, they are capable of doing so. But it does not stop the consultation between the Minister of Water and the Minister of Culture in making that determination, because it's within the spirit of cooperative governance. Because it may create another problem if it means you find a municipality, local government, that is incapable of becoming rendering water and sanitation services, being assigned a function of a Water Services Authority. I wanted to go back to the question of the ownership of water. The Act is not explicit in who owns the water. But the Act, I'm talking about the National Water Act. It says the minister is the custodian of the nation's water. However, depending on what you want to use water for, you may have to apply to the minister to use water. For example, if you are using water for domestic purposes, you don't have to apply. If you're using it for domestic or to give water to your animals, generally you don't have to apply. It's considered domestic in its permissible water use. In terms of Schedule 1 of the National Water Act, it indicates under these circumstances you can use water without a license. Then there are instances where you want to use it for commercial, for want of a better word, let me say you want to use water for commercial purposes. In that instance, you must apply to the department to use water. Now, you are applying, the department must then make a determination. Do I have water in terms of which I can give this person a license, a permission, or a right to use water for the purpose that this person wants to use it for? Now, once the department has made that determination to say, I'm going to give you a license to use water, it does not make you the owner of that water. It gives you a license, or it gives you a right to use water as per that license. You don't become the owner, but you own the license to use water as per the contents of the license. And there could be there are conditions attached to it. It can be revoked. And I want to tie this to the question as to what is this bill bringing about transformation. You will know that there are two key things that are actually worrisome to the department, at least in terms of this bill. And this one supposed the use it or lose it policy principle that we want to include in the bill. Then there's another, and I'll come to this one also. Then there's the one on the current act makes provision for what we call an existing lawful water use. Now, the existing lawful water use means if you claim just before, let's say, from 1996 onwards, if you claim to have had a right to use water for whatever purpose in terms of the 1956 Act. This Act recognizes that as to say if you claim to have it, then you are going to consider that to be an existing lawful water use, which means you continue using water in terms of what you claim to have. But the Act then permits for an instance where we can actually go back to and say, but I think you want to do a verification or validation. Because what currently is happening is that people are sitting and laying claim to having an existing lawful water use. but there's nothing in writing that we have in relation to them. So the current act says, in relation to an existing local water use, we want to, once the bill is passed by this parliament, you will have 2 years in which you must come forward and formally claim that the existing local water use. Currently, it is made a responsibility of the department to go to you and ask you to apply and prove that you've got an existing local water use. But we want to reverse it so that those who want to claim it, they can just sit back and continue using water. Because then we don't know who are they and how many are they. So if the bill is passed in the current form, then those people must come forward to claim, and we can decide whether or not to accept what they claim to be an existing local water use. But the major one also, and it relates to the existing local water, it's about the fact that people then keep that water even if they don't use it. And as a result, the department is unable to allocate to those who want it. So the current...
And are you talking on the 8%?
All of it. Remember, Chair, remember, Chair, you see, the 8%, it is not something that you do without permission. So the fact that you would have a dam, where let's say we say we've got about 4,000 thereabouts which are privately owned, it does not mean these people have just on their own decided that I'm going to erect a dam here and store water. It is considered a water use, which means if you want to store water, even the erection of a dam and the storage of the water, it's a water use, which means you must apply to have that license. Now, like the DJ said, the majority of them will constitute, in terms of volume, 8%. However, that it does not mean that that 8% is without permission.
Mm.
You have a permission. However, remember...
So therefore, why then do you say that the state only controls 92%? Because if we have an authority from the state to use, why the state cannot even take ownership of that and say 100% of the water resource in the country is under state control?
It is actually when you look at it.
No, let's say, as Makondo was saying, let's say straight that the water resource in the country is under the control or the custodian of the state.
I think that it is 8%. All the water. For you to have stored that 8%, you would have had to seek a license and be granted license. So those who have it, they would have it through a license. Now,
No, okay, that's fine. Buka and what's going on? Makonde come in. No, Makonde is Buka, followed by Bason, Mam Kaula. And you'll come at the last, because you are going to deal with the process at the end. Can come in, Makonde, followed by...
Okay. I would want to convince if the 8% that the private people are using, like you are saying it, are under the control of the state, how would that get to close a river that is supposed to take water to Middle Litara Dam?
Hmm.
Is the department that allocated him that license to do that?
Thank you, Chair. I would not have specific information around this question, but remember what happens is that from a stream, you will have permission to extract a certain amount of water, let's say from a river. So I don't know whether when he closed it, it is because he wanted his portion. However, it is not permissible that you can... If you block a stream, it's a transgression. We need to be taking action.
So the state does not even have capacity to monitor.
Yeah.
The state does not have capacity to monitor. In your bill, you must be able to explicitly, clearly say that the state will create the following capacity to monitor water use. If you don't have capacity to monitor it, people will do as they want. But that will have to be expressed within the law. And I mean, in the environmental affairs, for example, we have the blue scorpions. What do you call them? The green scorpions. Or the blue or black. What do you call them? Green scorpions enforcement.
Yes.
Those are enforcement agents. In the department, we have that.
Yes. We do.
Who are those ones who does not know that there's someone in the farm there who has blocked the entire street? Why you don't know it? Kima Waling in charge of that unit in the department. Who is in charge of that?
Mr.
Where
Mr.
is this president?
Anil Sin.
Opi. Opi, that is not here.
No, it's not here.
Is a colleague to you'll talk about that issue on the policy part of it that day. This is how we deal with issues of making sure that we enforce
and
compliance. And
you see, Chair, Department of Water and Sanitation is spending billions of rand in Guyana because of the two. And they must not come here and be done. They're taking water from Vembe region to Guyana. You're spending how many billions there? And there's enough capacity to store water in Guyana. But simply because that's there to close the stream.
Oh.
And you can't come in. I come from that area. I know this thing. And you tell me that you own that water. You gave him that permission. What kind of permission is that?
No,
I
didn't give him.
Okay, that's fine. No, that's fine. Yes,
It's the administration of and the management of these water use licenses that creates the problem. And the warm bodies, as you say, to actually get out there. Here in Mpumalanga, and this was given to us in a written response last year or the year before, when I questioned water use licenses. I mean, that's where all the colleges, all the coal mines are in Mpumalanga. Do you know how many people the department has to monitor and go around and check and visit those mines and check that the use of... Do you know how many people?
Mm.
Two.
No. The whole province.
Two people.
The whole province.
The whole province. Two people. How effective do you think they are?
Okay.
And we can't hold those people. But piggybacking on what Honorable Mkondo is saying, Mpolosi River was dry, bone dry. A sea of sand. And when you see that, you know that there's a problem upstream. And the response we were given by the department was it was dry because of drought. One of the biggest rivers in the country is dry because of drought. Nonsense. Go and check Somkele mine. Go and check the anthracite colliery. Go and check Ubuntu coal, which is further upstream of the Mpolosi River. They have extraction licenses. That is why that river is dry.
I think you're noting these issues. The purpose of this engagement is not for you to defend at this level. It's to note the concerns. I think you said you want to present this thing to members. So members are engaging you for one purpose. Note this following point. As you finalize your engagement with your bill and your stakeholders, take this into account. Because by the time, in fact, the bill comes to us, we'll have, in fact, begin to look at these issues as members are raising them, did you always?
Yes.
So we take it in that spirit, ne? There's no fighting, it's oversight, it's accountability, the contribution that you're making, so don't take it in a... Mam Kaula, Baswan followed by Mam Kaula, you'll come, guys, you'll come.
Chairperson, two things. In the Act, in Section 22 of the Act, it stipulates, and then there's a Schedule 1 that tells you who may use water and for what water you need licenses for. So a farmer that drills a bore on his farm, he can use that water. You are correct, if you want to open a mine, you could apply for a license. So there are some of these uses in Schedule 1, it tells us. Now let's get back to the closing of the river. There was a court case, Lemunchuk Plaza against the department. In 2014 the case, and the judge made a ruling on the 21st of May 2015, where the department lost the case, where the farmer downstream, there are farmers that don't get water. The Act stipulated if you had rights in the previous Act and you used that right, you may continue to use that that right without applying for a water license.
Hmm.
And you are allowed to build dams as long as the capacity is less than 250,000 cubic meters of water. You don't need the department's approval to build a dam like that.
Hmm.
It comes out in this court case. So in this case is being used everywhere now. The department did not appeal. They had useless attorneys on that case.
Hmm.
They had to pay the cost. The judgment, the judge ruled on what was before him. I have written numerous, Choki there, she can confirm how many letters I've written about Lemoonshoek and Richard Butt concerning that farmer, the Willemse, a colored farmer that don't get water out of that river because that one farmer blocks all that water. And they are not moving forward on it. Then I was informed verbally that they will have to take it to the Constitutional Court now. But even that is not happening. Now I got a letter to say that they will...
Who's that? Not the department?
The department. Yeah, from the department. From the minister. I got a letter from the minister. And then I got a letter last month from the minister that says that in the Gourits catchment area, they will go and do a verification of water in the whole area, not only on that farm. It's going to take them, they say they will be finished by June. I asked Mr. Singh, how far are you? Because June is a month away. They haven't even started with the process.
No.
So, Che, the problem is, officials within the department are not doing their work. Advice given or your legal department is not acting on these issues. I personally will send you DG just before your time. I sent letters after letters after letters. You did not appeal on the Lemoonshoek, and now every other person in the country uses this high court judgment to say, but there's a court judgment. I am allowed to block this river because I've got the right to use this water, which we don't agree with. You may use water, but you should not, you should be, people downstream should allow to get water. But we can't get your department, DG, we can't get your department to move forward and take this matter back to court and get another judgment. And as long as your department is not going to act on this, we're going to sit with the same situation that I can block anywhere a river if I've got water, right? And the people downstream is going to suffer.
Point Ben, you may want to respond on that part, legal. Mam Kaula, Mam Kekano, who come in? Okay, Mam Kaula, you can come in.
Yeah, Mam Kaula. Hey, starting to do the team, Big Kavatana. We have why you think Big Kavatana. La, in Togo, Lomsi, like Tolagan. But I want to talk to Wadomiango, wait. No maspala or no cocktail. Ubani lo dlala kangaka ngathi. Why ngisho kanjalo? Yabona into echazeka la. Bayechaza abantu abantu bathi ayihlangani. First number one. Khona lana akhuluma khona ngale ngo-government. Ukuthi ubona amanzi wonke. Kodwa unangilo 4,000 siyawubona. Don't the rentals of city siyabala. Khona le nqwaba namanzi lo 3659 esingawazi kakabani. Okay. Umhlonisho wami la uzokwenza umzekelo nangomhlaba. Uthi umhlaba uqobo. Khona la kuthiwa khona lo mhlaba okagovernment lo akuwona. Yes, siye sizi ukuthi uma kuthiwa akuwona, uma sifuna ukwazi phela ukuthi okay, ukabani. Kuthola kuthi ufola ngaphansi kwengonyama. Namanzi-ke ngabe bazokutshela ukuthi nawo afola ngaphansi kwengonyama lo wamakosi na ngiyadlula lapho. Ngibonge ozakwethu bakhombisa la ukuthi njengobe la bahlalele abantu. Lana sinenkinga khona eCranskop. ICranskop ingaphi KZN ukuthi angazi iCranskop izothi kodwa iseKZN yona ngakomaphumulo kuyale phambili. Kunenkampani lapho yenza i-acryl. Ma ngabe bekwazi ukugada izinto zethu as a government ukuthi zenzeka ngokomthetho akukho okugebeni. Ngabe bayazi lapho ankampani thine-license ayinayo. Okunye eMpumalanga kunama-borehole imoti yemizi yakule ndawo eunder amakhosi engayithola mihle yakhiwe but amanzi angaphansi komhlaba babasebenzisa umuzi nomuzi abawakhokheli bayidonsele bona ngabe kubuyele kwento engonyama trust sibuyele ngibonge ku honorable Ebhaka Bhaka laphana njengoba ekhuluma ngomfolozi lento iyangithinta kukhombisa ngisobala ibuyela futhi kulento ka-honorable Makondlo yokuthi kunomfula okudonswa amanzi la manzi at least-ke mina nginikwa amanzi u-government engakwazi ukuthatha umgqomo ngihambe kweyikhe la manzi ngikwazi ukuphika nabantu abami kodwa la kuthola ukuthi amanzi adonswa khondla khonde esithile lakhe lapha ejozini emakhathini flat kunesidamu laphayana ngoba iyinhla-ke lento ukuthi wayesenziwethu kuphuka uthini size sithathe impela kuthiwa siyabe i-oversize bosikhombisa bazositshela into obonaka senze idomu lalela-ke lala damu leli ale makhathini flat linamanzi okudlala iy'kebhe nathi nje masisuka lana nonke bahamba kufika amathorizi afika kudlale ngamanzi laphayana bese nifikela nize oversize ngithathe nonikeza ofishi ngiyojwayeza makanti yabona nje liyanto iyangidina le nto mina ngiyavumelana ngomakondo ngiqonde ukuthi sihlaza ama-official lawo ala funa azi ukuthi njengoba siziimembers ephalamente siyayenza le nto i-oversize i-that's why every time uma ulalela honorable Bhasoni akamele lathi kumele ama-only white umele wonke umuntu wase-South Africa ngoba njengoba umuzosuke ebala komadibeni yonke into yizinto esiyasuke sizibona kanti ukuthi next time uma beza la abeze bazi beza kubantu abaphosi thina siyanga sofunda ey'koleni kufundela ukuthi sibuye siyobrabha thina sizwele abantu bakithi ngiyabonga
thanks mama that's a good point she represent the masses outside Budu funu utoloka so that honorable Bhasoni was mentioned in the form of the Bhasoni was mentioned. Can you talk about one?
In summary, between Cocktail, this is confusing to be because between Cocktail and Department and Water Affair and Water and Sanitation, there's a confusion. Someone is lacking, there's something missing along the way. And then the remainder of the dam, the 3659 dam, we still don't know who owns this dam, who are the owners of this dam. And then the land issue, we are aware that some of the land belongs to the government and some of the land belongs under private ownership. The same thing with water. There's a board or a company in KZN called the Ngonyama Trust Fund. Does the water that's on their land, does it belong to them? That's a question. Then she referred to Transcorp in KZN. There's a company that makes sweetened water called Aquel. Do they have a water license? Who owns the license? Were they given permission? Do they own the license or what? Then in Mpumalanga, there are people who have boreholes in their yard. They extract water themselves. They don't pay a cent for this water. Then there's a member, issue that Honorable Baker referred to, which when she referred to an area in follows whereby water is accessed upstream or blocked upstream. This happens as well in Tozini, in Makatini Flat, where there's a dam, and the water there is used for skiing and for recreational facilities. The officials must know that we are here to represent our people. We are fighting on behalf of our people.
You're not listening to our person.
Oh, yes. When Mr. Person comes to present in Parliament or wherever, he doesn't present only a certain color of people. He presents everyone. Thank you very much.
I think your presentation has helped more unity between Honorable Bhasoni and Mam Kaula. It reinforced the collusion.
You know the reason that you are doing this exercise, you must understand. These are frustrations that these members every day in any meeting. Now we need to find a solution to these issues. Right? Now, the only platform to find a solution to these issues is when we deal with issues of policy and legislation. Because all these are frustrations. I pick up something now. For example, people in the villages, they open bowls as they want. There's no policing, there's no control, everybody just go and drink there. You call it, what do you call it? Is that house use? Or here in town, before I have a bowl in my house, in Table View, by the way, here in Cape Town. And I have to register for it, not just a bowl. The municipality has to register. In the village, you don't register, you can open it if you want. Right. So I think that let's know these issues, colleagues. For you, today is not to talk too much, but just to clarify the issues. And but let me give you an opportunity again. Let's allow the department now to speak. You have been speaking, members. Let's give the department just to speak on the issues that they have been raising, and we're trying to find each other and help each other in the process. The day the bill comes, we are going to do this exercise. It's going to be more robust than what we are now doing currently. Again, you can proceed.
I'm just hoping that you will at least answer the questions that you recorded and then follow
up. Nice! Don't worry about answering everything. Okay. Just answer everything.
Okay, sure. Still on the issue of the question is, what are we transforming? And I think there's an issue around the fact that there are people who got water use licenses. They don't use water anymore, but they keep it to themselves. So this principle is intended when the bill is ultimately approved by this cabinet to ensure that when someone has got when someone has got the water use license but is not using water, we are basically saying within a specific period of time, if you find that you have not been using it, then you are going to lose it. But it sets out the procedure that will lead up to making that determination to say at what point are you going to say you've lost the water. Then there is also even those who do not want to use water anymore. Although the Act is not providing for the sale of water between private citizens, there are people who do it, and we're not, in some instances, we don't even know about the fact that they are selling. So we are making it explicit in the bill that if you don't want to use water, you lose it, you are not going to be allowed to sell it to the next person. Because the very same fact that there are certain sectors of the society who have a substantial amount of water amongst themselves, they sell it amongst themselves, and it does not permit government to at least bring about transformation and say, you want to remove that water because you don't want to use it anymore, and then you can reallocate it to someone else. So we want to be clear on that. The white paper currently, as it stands, it made it clear that you cannot permit sale of water between individuals, trading with water use licenses, but people do.
So if I have a dam, and then I lose the license, how do you take that water from me?
Remember, Chair, the dam is actually just a storage facility, which means you get water from somewhere. All that happens is that there will be no longer water going into your dam. If you are getting the water from a stream, then it means you are not allowed to extract anymore and store in your dam. If you've lost that license, then it means the water goes back into the stream as opposed to into your dam.
So the water that is in that dam, it will just evaporate. Because I'm not using it.
Remember, if it means you have constructed in such a way that it will catch water from a particular stream or it comes from a mountain, then it means it has to be demolished because it is stored.
But they were going to demolish it?
Well, I'm not sure who will do it, but all that I'm trying to say as a principle is that you will not be allowed to store, because when you make it, you apply for water use, you apply for a storage.
I will come back. You apply for storage.
So the and then there's also an instance where, although it is currently provided for in the Act, to say if you don't want to use water anymore, you must surrender it.
Okay.
We are making it explicit, but we are making it clear also around the fact that you can't be trading in water anymore. Then there was a question around who are our key stakeholders. It's industries, mines, it's municipalities, and individual water users, and quite a number of government departments who we are going to be consulting. There was a question as to how do we bring in the component of black people into them behaving what is like this. It is true what I've just indicated, that you need to lose water, you're not going to be allowed to trade in the water.
So the black component will only benefit through someone loses water, therefore the black component will benefit out of that.
No, I'm saying,
okay.
I'm saying, remember, we are trying to, in addition to the fact that there is water that is still existing, but we also want to make sure that people don't sit with water and they are not using it, or sell it to those who they prefer to sell it.
How do you address Makonde's issue that he has just raised? That's two.
Well, I think
how do you address that fact? Where someone just closed the entire stream and
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think
specifically, I just want us to speak to that experience.
The principle is that if you are closing a stream, it's actually a transgression of the National Water Act. I think what will then happen now that we need to send people there to go and see what is happening.
Okay, can we, for record and for this engagement purpose, can we agree that this issue is going to be investigated? There, how many of them? There are two. Now, Baker, you have raised Mpolozi. Okay, can we just for example, just to deal with this, Makonde, how many of them is it? Is it honorable, say Baker? Is it one area we have identified? Okay. Do you know which particular area of Mpolozi? Okay. Okay. Can we note the issue that is raised by honorable Makonde? Because that will speak to the point raised by Mam Kaula, in fact, at some point. Just the two cases, go deal with them, come back, give us an answer. Right? Okay, that's fine. Honorable Basson, I'm just trying to tie it up as we're working towards closing of this meeting. So there's something that you know, we can hold into it, say, based on this engagement, as we move forward with regard to the legislative policy making process, these are the areas, and therefore this is how we have dealt with them. And build that into the act if the act is lacking in dealing with such matters. Okay.
Then I think of the question, there are two questions. The one related to the mandate of the department, and also the how does the bid fit into the, how does it affect the Meat Processing Act? Part of what we've acknowledged up front is that when you look at the National Water Services Act.
Ma'am Baker and I know the solidarity with regard to blogging of the stream, but give a proceed.
Okay. I was saying, when you look at the Municipal Assistance Act and the Water Services Act, they can make similar provisions in relation to water and sanitation services, both pieces of legislation actually do have similar provisions. What we've acknowledged up front is that, and I think it is informed by the fact that as we're in the process of establishing the municipalities as they currently exist, the Water Services Act was enacted because there was nothing to regulate that aspect of the Water Services Act. But subsequently, the Municipal Systems Act came into place, but it did not repeal certain provisions which are in the Water Services Act, which in our view, some of them actually belong with COPD. So we've acknowledged and noted the fact that there are some, at least based on the two pieces of legislation, the overlapping of mandates, and we're trying to address it in this legislation. And that is why before the bill goes ahead, it needs to be certified by the state law advisor. So we're raising it even from within the department, certain aspects that we think do not fall within our mandate. I think then there was a question about I think we responded to the issue around the dams. I wanted to there's a question that was raised by Honorable Basson around the Mont's Hook. I thought I needed to respond. I think it's partly unfair to say that things were useless. I think the problem there actually related to the fact of the case. What happened was that the Le Mans Hook, they were claiming an existing lawful waterway. They then subsequently applied to the department around 2001 or thereabouts for the recognition of that existing lawful waterway. A certificate to that effect was issued. Subsequently, I think a few years later, someone, and then part of that existing lawful water use was the erection of a dam, which would then basically divert a certain amount of water to go into this zone. Then subsequently the department issued a directive saying to him, you must demolish that dam because you don't have any rights to do so. What then happened was that he took us to court to say, but you, around 2000 and so, you gave me a certificate to the effect that I've got an existing local water use, which includes the erection of that dam. And that was actually where the entire case turned around to say, was this person actually permitted to have a dam or not? And remember now we're sitting, these people are sitting with a certificate which says, we recognize an existing local water use, which includes the erection of a dam. But then there's a directive issued by the department saying something to the contract. But then the court says, I think you can do a verification exercise, but there must be an expert, because remember when the directive was issued, there was no expert record, report, which informed the issuance of that directive. And the court had to determine whether or not the issuance of that directive was rational. And the court concluded that it was irrational in the sense that you have not done any exercise to determine how much of the water should be released. At the end of that case, we then sought advice from the senior counsel to say, do you think we've got prospects of success? He said, no, the best is for you to do this study, which would inform, because in part what it will do, it will determine whether or not the bed should be lower, the bed to allow more water to go. We've undertaken that study when the matter went to court. But what has also happened is that since then we've then requested that a thorough study must be done to determine how much of the water should be allowed to go through, which it would include. Remember that the point that was being raised by farmers downstream, other than the fact that they're not getting water themselves, was the fact that the water was not sufficient.
But this water use license is for how long? Is it for life?
I wouldn't, as I said here, have a specific time frame. But it does permit any water use license. You are allowed to review it from time to time.
Who must review it?
The department.
So what is the position now with this case?
The process of reviewing the chair will be informed by that study to be done by experts.
So is the study being conducted now?
The honourable member was indicating, we've written to the CEO of the Brady Horace Catchment Agency to do that study. The last I heard was that they are busy with the tender. I'm not sure how far they
tender.
Remember, Chair, the verification and validation process is done by experts, some of whom we don't
know. So you don't have capacity in the department?
I wouldn't say we don't have capacity at all, but it depends on the magnitude of the exercise that you undertake at a given moment.
Who's advising you in the department of the... We're not legal, didn't you? But who's dealing with these things in the department? Madam, can you tell me what you're in the department?
Whether the sufficient water or not,
yeah,
for allocation, and therefore the municipal license they could get done by a division, and then after the minister can issue a license. So if there's any usage of water which is going to deplete, apply to other people, she will say so, and therefore the amount of water that can determine there was how much you need to need.
So in this case, is the department utilizing that directory?
So the problem in this instance is that the permission was given before, long before, it's a previous user. You know this thing of recognizing people who had certificates before the 1998 Act. So, in terms of the white paper, in terms of the law that Parliament acceded to, we had to recognize previous owners.
Parliament was wrong. You say, no, it's fine, let's carry on with the issues, past issues. What is it that you are going to transform, therefore? If we are very shy to go to the point that Makonde raises, that
If you want to transform, transform. If you're telling us a story, this will be a story that you are unable. Because the issue that I want to raise for Masang is that here is a problem. It does not expire, it's for life. So it means that you are going to sit with that problem or unless now you start this process of tender because the department does not have capacity. You are saying that, no, we have capacity in fact in the department that can determine. That study can be done within the department. It can be done within the department, that study. You can't. Why it cannot be done within the department?
Let's go back to...
Why can't be done?
What is done in the department in the main, when you do this, what they call the reserve determination, you can do a preliminary reserve determination, which is not expensive.
Okay.
You can even do it as a desktop study. That one we can do it in the department. But when it comes to a point where you now want to take an adverse decision, and you know that you've just done a desktop study, you can't make that decision because this person will come with an extensive expert report. We should have gone on the ground, brought all the experts to do that work. So for us to rely on a preliminary reserve determination when we want to take an adverse decision and someone is able to go on the ground and bring the experts.
So the department does not have that capacity, that's what you're saying. The department does not have that capacity.
Well, I think in fact, based on the market, because remember when you do the reserve, when you do a reserve determination, you actually do a study of the entire catchment.
Ah, what's the question? Nah.
We don't.
The department does not have. I have just met an intern who's doing study on all of these water sources. Even my researcher here is by the group fancy. Hey, the capacity of that man, in fact, you'll be surprised. A young man, a graduate, you know, he knows so much about these issues, the catchment, and I'm saying capacity, that you'll undermine, by the way. Maybe even yourself in the department, you're undermining your capacity again. Maybe let's test Babu's Choir to continue with that input, because what is important is to hear what capacity do we have in that department. This water construction people, they don't know anything about such matters. Because they seem to be highly experienced, well-capacitated people. Do you want to say to me that within that water construction company thing, no one have capacity of the square? You're dealing with engineers there, you're dealing with, you know, scientists, you're dealing with... All of these kind of people are in the water company. Are in the, what do you call it? Construction unit. It has so much capacity, that thing. Do you think that Babu Choir can we rely on them somehow with the little knowledge they have there, rather than the other since the lawyer one?
The reason why we changing the law, because of that. We say that this thing of people living like this in 1956 has to come to an end, and therefore we're saying that we're going to give them 2 years in which this thing gets verified, and after that, if they can't justify it, who will have to take the license out. I think Mr.
Why not scraping these licenses and say that people just reapply? There's nothing wrong. The new act says that all those who had licenses in the last 40, 50 years must just reapply. The department will do a determination.
We would like to do it, but the law...
What law? What law? What do you say the law? What law? Because we are here as lawmakers. We can change that thing if we want to change it. What do you say the law?
Oh, okay.
What does the law say? Because if Parliament decides that we'll bring that bill, then we'll do it as we want to do it. Why is the law? What is the problem with the law? These are lawmakers that are seated here. Tell us where is the problem. We'll help you. We'll amend it to a point that we address the problem. That is why the issue of transformation comes back. Mabonde. That's why the issue of transformation comes back. Here is a person there sitting with a lifetime license who has blocked everybody in the stream. That too will get the report, in fact, when we come back in the next round. These must be experiences that we can then deal with the issue of transformation. So that you come back, it helps you, in fact, to really look at the problem. What is the problem here? You know, why are these people having these licenses that we can take away from them? The transformation revolution, you know. Yes. Therefore, this is the law that we want to ignite to address this problem. at court, because the case that the Basson still stands, there's nothing that the department has done. So that case stands, Honorable Basson, until such time that the department has done this exercise. And the department does not say anything. They don't even say anything that this is what we are doing. It's there, it laps, the court made the pronouncement, it ends there, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. We are still going to give you the tender, look at how much is it, who's going to benefit out of this tender, and then once we know who's going to benefit, then I have 400 rand there, and all of that. Come on, guys, man, no, man. It can't be. Honorable Sir, do you agree with this thing?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yeah, but what
yes,
he said,
you know, the problem is that, Chairperson, the 98 Act says that if you have the right under the Act of 1956, you don't need to get a water license. So, there's a whole problem, Chairperson. If you read, I've got the whole court case here, and I'm telling you, if you read this, unfortunately this is Afrikaans, if you read this, it just stipulates, and the judge says this, that the department's advocate did not come up with any evidence that could make another change than just using this.
Mm.
And they did not appeal to a person. There was a request from applicants. There were three applicants, respondents. It was the department, it was Richard Butt, and it was Mr. Billinger.
Mm.
They were the three people that were on the court side against the applicant, that was Lemunsu. Chairperson, and there's a lot of rumors running around in that area that farmer of Lemunsu paid off officials to let this thing fall away.
Oh, yeah.
And Chairperson, I cannot prove it, but that is the thing. And it was then created by the fact that when they had to appeal, but Mr. Richard Butt wrote to the department and said, I will pay some of the cost, let's appeal. My advocates say that the judgment is wrong. The department took a decision. Now I'm asking them, they said they got legal advice not to, they won't succeed. Supply us with that legal advice.
Mm.
We want to see that legal advice. Then why was I informed, Chairperson?
Mm.
The only way we can change this around, because now it's going to happen, his situation, because it's a court judgment, and they will refer to this court.
Again.
Why didn't they, why didn't
no,
they, the constitutional court, Chairperson?
You have made a point. Now, you have made a point, you are in fact calling for that legal advice. By the way, you must know we're in Parliament, right? And in Parliament we don't lie, we tell nothing else but the truth again. Now the point that is now made is that legal advice must be submitted. It's available, so it does not be 7 days, it's 24
and
hours.
2 years now.
No, it's 24 hours, legal advice will come from the senior counsel, will be submitted to Madia by tomorrow morning. Okay? Tomorrow morning, we don't have a meeting tomorrow. Yeah. By tomorrow morning, that will be submitted because it's available, you know. It's not something that is not there. Yeah. So we get that. If that legal advice is not there, that we are going to recommend that you will be arrested. You will be applied to Parliament. No, that's how it goes. This Parliament, we may be joking and say, but this is a formal meeting of Parliament. So we tell nothing else but the truth when we do it. Not that I'm a representative, then I call the police in time. Thank you. Okay, but thank you.
Can I
Yes, Ms. Vega. But we are not in these issues, right, BG? We are not in them, ne? Yeah. Issues as members are raising them.
Can I just ask you, with regards to some of these issues, like what Mr. McCormick and I have raised, would those be affected by the stream, the Act makes provision for stream flow reduction activities for the minister to give consent to such activities. It's under certain chapter 4, section 36, it's actually stipulated there, and it must be gazetted. Do you think that some of these companies, like what we are referring to, would they have perhaps permission under those clauses? How often does that actually happen, or am I reading it against the wrong information? And then just So you know we've got these regional, and we've raised the previous day, and actually I think it was the previous DC Moses and who commented when I raised it previously, that we have these regional officers with a huge staff complement. And one of her comments were then that the people are there, they do nothing, and we can't fire them because we're bound by some contract or something. I'm not sure what the conditions of employment are. Perhaps it would also be relevant for us to get an indication of how many people are in these regional offices. What is actually their official roles and responsibilities of these people? And what qualifications do these people actually have? Because if they're not really assisting us, or are they general workers, or are they engineers? I mean, what are they there for? Because we've got this gap. We've got this big gap. Where can these people be utilized? Once again, it comes back to, like you were saying yesterday, with the construction agency company.
Okay.
We've got people employed by the department that we are not using effectively.
Maybe that's the point that DG, when we deal with even the structure of the department, where I'm sitting for now, all of those other pieces, I don't see linkage. Maybe part of it just you'll be dealing with the refilling of some of the pieces of legislation and creating one else.
Mm-hmm.
We have to clarify the issue of the structure of the department properly. So that once you have a structure, you know that for ministry, chief director, DG, blah, blah, down to even at local level, what kind of a system. So that when you do oversight, it becomes very easy, because if I had to go to a local structure of the department, I'll know who are the people, what am I expecting there, roles and functions and all of that. You know, if I go to the regional office, same applies. If I go to a provincial office of a department, you know, all of that thing, what's called structural arrangement, is something that I don't know it. Maybe it's because I'm still new. Me and you, you're just new in fact in the field. But it's very important. So that, you know, your legislation in fact speaks to this capacity that they've created there. Honorable Basanor, let's give the department just to say.
Just add one to that last week.
I want them to, I will give you one. Mokaula, I'll give you last. We're going to say one thing, Pela, Mokaula, not more than four. One thing, Pela, and then what we do is then give the department to speak, and then after that, we're going to close it, ne? Because I think we'll have really entertained the engagement today, and it has been quite wonderful, but we'll come to that one. Just make your one point, Basan, and then Mamukawala will make your last point.
I just want to request, when you give us your legal opinion on the review on the court case, because I want to know whether it's the same attorneys that dealt with the case, Chairperson?
No, there's nothing I can say.
No, I can ask you, but, well, they use an attorney, and the attorney appoints senior counsel.
That's correct.
So is it the same person that gave you that the review that you will not succeed? Then it means, in the first place, that you got the wrong advice if you lost the case.
No, leave that.
But that's not person. But it's important.
Why can't you wait and get the document?
But person, the fact of the matter is, they went to court unprepared, and we must note that people are suffering.
Okay.
Because the department went unprepared to court.
Okay. Okay. No, thanks, Ozan. I'm fine. Another person, my neighbor, take it easy. I'm with you. Don't, you'll have other tech here, collapse in the meeting. Let's take it easy, Basan. We have just agreed that, let's get those documents, right? We'll make, immediately when the document comes, make a copy to all members. Make sure that Honorable Basan, by tomorrow before he leaves to Rustenburg, he has that copy with him, right? Because I know, this is what Mom Kaula was saying, you know, with passion that the Honorable Basan deals with this thing. In fact, for the first time in the committee, I think you're picking up such a call. And I really want to thank you, Honorable Basan, that you're able to raise. No. I'm saying, take it easy. You are my neighbor. You must, we have a long way to go here. We still have 2 years to go. How many years we left in 2 years? Yeah, we still left in 2 years, you know, before the next election. So there's still a lot that we're still going to do here. By the time the new team comes in the next elections, we'll have laid a solid Department of Water and Sanitation, because there will be men and women of stature,
meaning that ourselves here, you know, who are going to make sure that that piece of legislation becomes something that we can hold into it, all of us. Not the one that allows people to get on with licenses. I don't know what these members when they were deciding that people can just get on with old licenses.
Just on the license, I just want to make clear when we take over in 2019.
No, you're not going to take anything over. That's a dream also, because I think those hopes you have them, but it's not going to happen. The revolution will continue in this country under the leadership of the UC Honorable. let's what's called. Let's Mom Kaula, one point Mom Kaula, one, not more than two. One.
Oh, to one, we can have
two. I 1 point. Kuluma mama, kuluma mama.
Okay. Gitiminalana has a very bomb in the first to that first class.
With the councillor, Mom Kaula.
Ah, so Gitiminala. Ngiyabonga bahloni shwa bethu uma besibekezela la masikhulumi. Mina ngiyayibona inkinga yabo ukuthi kuphi. Bayazama ingakho belo beshintshashintsha ngoba bazama ukuthi kutholakale usizo. Inkinga ilapha komasipala nokhokha. Lalana-ke nakho isihlalo lana-ke engisho khona. Ngithi mina kunesinqumo esesasisho noma kuvela ukuthi amanzi ayaxhashaza njengokhawasha. Kwangalesi sinqumo engifuna amanzi oba sengibona ukuthi okuningi obusha manje ukuthi la bantu abawasha imoto khawasha noma-churches lakho St John's basebenzisa kakhulu amanzi ZCC omakhenika ukuze bangagcini bentshontsha amanzi lakhe kulezi ndawo ey'khokhelwa utho nale angakhokhelwa funa abasebenzise ngendlela ukuthi babe nale nto yokuthi ma befaka ama-application akucela amanzi akungathathi isikhathi mabanikezwe amanzi baze banzilwa namashelta ukuthi baqhubeke basebenza kwazi ukumonisa amanzi kodwa inkingi la abafuni omasipala umuntu owenza into ngokusemthethweni bayawafaka ama-applicatini kutholeka ukuthi abavumi ngicela kube umphako wabo lokho.
Okay, ma'am.
Yes.
Izesithi ukuthi thatha amanzi kuphi?
No, sengishole ukuthi lezi nto ey'sebenzisa kakhulu amanzi njengokhawash o-St John's o-ZCC.
Bayenzani?
Phela kuyagqunywa, kuyakhatha, kuyakhalazwa, kuyasetshenzelwa, kuyaphekwa. Akuhlezi imvume ngoba balapha abantu.
Mom Kaula. My grandmother, Sonda is it. Now, I need the man's you. Okay, thanks for you. Now let's can I put your team again? Let me give you 10 minutes just to speak. Anyone in your team just to speak on the issues. Then they will. Ms. Becca, you want to say something before? Just want to give the DG and his team now just to speak.
JBS, you know, we have a very excellent researcher.
Yes.
Perhaps Shireen can just give us a comment or her views.
Just before we close, I'd like to hear her opinion on things. That's correct. No, in fact, I forget. I noted that, and I wanted her to speak last. Can you come in, Shireen? Just speak to us. Talk to members. You have been paid all along, and I have not known why you have been paid. For the first time, I hear you speaking in the public. Thanks, ma'am.
Okay, as the national legislature of South Africa, the main function of Parliament is to pass new laws, to amend existing laws and to repeal or abolish old laws. This function is guided by the Constitution of South Africa. But what I want to touch on as well is that because the National Water Act and Water Services Act is being completely repealed, the department has actually lost an opportunity to look at drafting a green paper which will conceptualize all of the issues and the gaps of the different pieces of legislation, not only in the department, but with the Municipal Systems Act as well. The draft in Parliament, it has happened that the green paper, before a bill came before the committee, public hearings were held. The department can hold their own public hearing on the green paper towards the new book. But Parliament can also hold public hearings towards the new book as soon as the green paper and the white paper are published. And I think it gives more resonance to all of the key issues that have been debated thus far. The other thing is that if you go by the process of green paper, white paper, in terms of reviewing the National Water Act and the Water Services Act, some of the challenges within these two pieces of legislation. And I will just highlight some of the challenges that I have noted with the two pieces of legislation. And it would have been a critical piece of work for the department to undertake if they had gone the route of publishing the green paper, formulating and publishing a green paper, and then a white paper before they started with the process of the bill. Because now what they're doing is they're starting with the process of the bill. And if there are any gaps or weaknesses, then many departments fall into the trap of using regulations to cover up those gaps. I just want to look at some of the challenges. If the process of green or white paper has not been followed, you're going to get a fragmented piece of legislation. And while some of the critiques about the Water Act, the critiques of the Water Services Act, is that majority of the municipalities in South Africa, a decade after the introduction of the Water Services Act, are both water services associations and water service providers, with no separation of powers. So that's one of the critical things that the green paper should have looked at. Then the other thing is that the regulation model, there is capacity in the sector for the municipalities to recruit staff components in water services policy and oversight, which is separate from the subordinate operational management and delivery unit. The reality is that most municipalities have a combined technical services department running all services and are back into funds. So that's another issue that should have come out quite concretely in the green paper. Then decentralizing regulations to municipalities is inappropriate given the current skill shortages, as it presupposes good regulatory capacity on the ground. The result is that some of the mandatory functions of the Water Services Act as enacted in the Water Services Act are not carried out. A minor example is the requirement for public consultation around the Water Services Development Plan. I won't go further into it because I've got the documentation here. But I come back to my point that all of these substantive issues that members were also talking about should have been collated prior to moving toward drafting a new book. And it was a great opportunity, I think, and the department has missed it. And then with regard to with regard to the role of the department, the future role of the department, as a sector leader and a regulator, we also need to define that within the parameters of the new bond. And then with the national amendments to the Water Services Act should include restructuring of financial arrangements and the equitable share allocation to be prioritized. That's one of the issues that came up yesterday as well. The extent to which municipalities can't pay for, and what is the role of national treasury within the equitable share allocation. The department has a great opportunity now to begin to look at that and include it into the new bill. Because what happens as well with the green and white paper, the department can argue that since there needs to be certain constitutional amendments, either you're going to say that we will go back and centralize the provision of water services to the national department, and then you have to have an amendment to the constitution, or else we will leave it as is, but the following needs to be strengthened in terms of the constitution as well as national treasury regulations. The other one is that the PSMA and the Water Service Authority legislation should have the same set of rules. So the department needs to align National Water Act, Water Services Act, to the PSMA, MSMA, Municipal Scout Assistance Act as well. And Municipal Systems Act. Then just a few other issues that I think could have been with regard to the National Water Act.
Okay.
The institutional and financial component should be re-looked at. The access to water in terms of the ecological reserve, emerging farmers, climate change should be re-looked at. I'm just going to quickly go over the headings. Then the issue of pollution and compliance and enforcement and authority from the department could have been strengthened in that thing, as well as catchment management agencies.
No, that's fine. I think the point that you are making, especially on the policy formulation, the first phase that you dealt with, the issues of white paper, green paper, one paper, white paper. In that process, I think we'll hear, they'll talk to that part. But there's a part again that I'm saying that issues that we have highlighted, some of them is when ourselves now, at the level of the committee, how do we process, how do we make, pay things in line with what we are raising there. It's going to be very critical, but by the time the bill comes before this committee, we are ready ourselves. That's why I said that Parliament is not authority, therefore. To look at it, does it cover? But at the foundation stage is what is important. Deal with that foundation. Let's hear how you have dealt with the foundation. If you have not dealt with it, maybe as you go back, go and look at how you are going to be dealing with that foundation stage. And then come back. Well, you don't even have to come back. Now that you have presented this thing to us, you have heard the concerns and the point that I made. In fact, we may want to put that in black and white and give it to the department as a guide, in fact, from the committee. And then we'll meet with you the time that you're now ready with the bill that will be coming before Parliament. So that we allow you to carry on, these are the issues. We don't interfere in that space. Then the parliamentary process, in fact, still allows further public hearing. Then we can then, at our own leisure again, invite any role player, either both will have been consulted by the department and the new people that will have identified. We'll go to the public with that. But what is very important is the foundation stage of the lawmaking process that you have embarked on, which I think you don't have to miss it, so that you don't end up having to patch things. It must be clearly, pronounced from the foundation of your
green paper and a white paper process, so that everybody is on board and take into account all these other conflicting legislation that we have in place. Because we are dealing with a constitutional matter here, it's not just a law. You know, those functions, in fact, are devolved from the constitution to local municipalities and all of that, the role of what municipalities do and all of that. You know. So it goes back again, the whole question of ownership of water, which is one of the cornerstone of this engagement here. And we must never miss that part. That part may come, but if it's not clearly, you know, they expressed in the law, people will continue doing what they're doing because we don't have authority over that water. You know, we still give you a license, you can do as you want, build whatever that you call it, and then but I think the ownership is the same as the land issues we have to deal with it. It's the same as the issues of minerals if we have to deal with it, you know. So as a resource, and a very scarce resource, the state will definitely have to have 100% control of it, and therefore we then allocate in this fashion, then your policy then expresses itself and how do you allocate this use of this resource. You know? So on that note, colleagues, let me, because I've already really promised the department, but I think that intervention was the most important intervention. In fact, it helps us just to ground ourselves back again into what's called, into the foundation. But we must not hit ourselves hard. This is, there's no tomorrow. You have a chance, you can go back, work this thing. We still have 2 years to go. You may not even want to rush and make something that they were doing it because in the last, say, 5 years we have not passed legislation, therefore let's push this thing and have a bill so that we can then be like any other committee of parliament that has passed a bill. But let's pass something that is sustainable, something that we can hold into it, something that is transformative, something that can really move the country forward, you know, with that regard. So DG and the team, we can still talk as you wrap up, you can still talk and then we can then, yeah, close this one.
I think the input made by the is very critical. We don't think we have lost the time, but the process is still. Remember, we just brought this here so that, you know, we could begin to hear what the committee, you know, what is the thinking and so on. But the actual submission to Parliament is actually will be in November. So that process will. But as far as the green paper and white paper process are concerned, because we have what is before you, the national sanitation policy. Okay, so if you already at that level of policy, you don't have to go to green paper because that's the very elementary phase. So we're already talking policy level. So if you have got policy, then those elements that are within policy, then you want to then legislate. Because on the water side, we also have the national water resource strategy and policy. So those at that level, we've already passed your green paper level and so on. So you may want to amend the policies, and like in sanitation, it's still a draft, which has been going out for, you know, allowing stakeholders to input into it. But there's still time to really take a whole lot of input from various stakeholders in the entire water and sanitation sector. Honorable Berger, although she's not there, she's out now, but she raised the issue of who does what, the people in the regional offices. We are in the process of restructuring the department in line with, because what we have realized is that the department, there was this confusion, not confusion, but just a bit of sacrificing of the core business of the department on the altar of a whole lot of other things. So we're focusing the department on core business, which is really your water resource management and sanitation. Those issues of people not being able to check the issues that they remember, who's blocking the river and so on, you find that our staff maybe in the provinces are focusing on what actually the municipalities do, instead of focusing on those issues about the water resource management, getting to those catchments, checking what's happening and so on. So in the refocusing, you'll find that our staff in the provinces will be working more together with the CMA, the catchment management agency, focusing on managing water as a resource, as opposed to focusing on what the water service authorities, which are municipalities, which they are doing. So you put more money into managing water or the water resource, rather than more money into what is supposed to be done by the municipality. So we are restructuring the department to focus it on core business and not peripheral business or someone else's core business. You know. So I think, the chief director says he has got two questions to answer, and then I think we'll wrap up from our side.
There was a question relating to the stream flow reduction, as to whether or not the blockage of the stream would have been something authorized as a stream flow reduction. It wouldn't be. Generally, stream flow reduction would be certain types of activity. For example, if you plant a number of plants, like if there's a plantation, then the view is that they can actually take a lot of water into the stream, and then they reduce the flow of water. And as a result, then if you gazette it, it means if you want to do that type of activity, you must then apply for a water use license. In this case, that one is a clear transgression. The last question was from Honorable Baston on whether or not the opinion that you sought from the same council, it is correct, you sought it from the same council, that is standard practice. If you have a case, at the end of the case, you seek advice from the same person who is presenting your case. But I think the point that I was saying is that I know that you're saying, the judge was saying, the counsel for the department was unable to provide certain evidence, which contradicted the evidence of the applicant. It is true. But I'm saying it is based on the facts. It was not that counsel did not provide evidence that was in existence somewhere. It was purely to say on the facts before the court, there was no evidence to suggest something to the contrary in relation to the case of the Montes Plaza. So it is true that the counsel would not have been able to provide that information. But seeking advice from the personal representative, standard practice, because that person is more closer to the case. They were in present in court, they will tell you exactly whether or not they think a prospect of success, which is why, on the basis of that advice, we did not go to the Constitutional Court. We needed to go to this route of getting a thorough study being done. That's what the judgment is actually saying. It must conduct a thorough study. Then you can start again with the issuance of a directive. So I know that it has taken much, an inordinate amount of time, but it is not completely a lost cause. Say for example, I think it took longer than ordinarily it would have taken. But that is why we didn't have gone to the Constitutional Court, because the facts would not have changed.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Any other person, DJ? Are you fine with the people? Chomke? Let's appreciate the time that we have spent with the DG today, and I think that the approach DG has been the correct one. But let's interact, you know. We therefore have engaged with the department. I think members have put their points across, even the content advisor of the committee. I think you have noted this issue. For you is to now go look at how best you can incorporate the concerns that are raised by members, and then deal with it within your timelines as we have put it here. But let's get the draft bill ourselves. I mean, when that time comes, when it's now presented to Parliament,
and then I would believe that we will still have the same spirit of processing the bill. The manner in which we are doing it now, yes, in fact it will help us when we deal with the bill itself, that we are able, in fact, to input into the bill that will end up being a law that can then manage and regulate water in this country. Water is one of those areas of a very a painful areas. If you know that the first company that was established here in South Africa in 1652, the Dutch East Indian Company, its task was nothing else but water. It was established to deal with issue of provision of fresh water to the ships as the sailors were passing across. That is 1652, the arrival of Jan van Riebeeck. It's not the best thing. It's a company that has done that work. But throughout the history of South Africa, the issue of water has been a political issue throughout. And as we are dealing with it again ourselves today, it's political. You know, don't take it light and say, which we are, this is just an administration issue. Water is a political issue, it's contested all the time. We have a responsibility ourselves here to make sure that water is shared among those that live and want to use it in South Africa and benefit the poor across the world. That's the approach that we're taking. And with the diverse we are, you know, and our common understanding and approach, you can hear it now. You know, and Mam Kaula puts it that Honorable Bazan does not speak for a particular community, he speaks for everybody. You know, so that's the spirit in which this committee is attending to address the problems that we created many, many years ago. So the transformation part of it becomes real. This thing is transformative that we are doing. It's not innocent. It's revolutionary, to put it correctly to you. Because we are changing from the other system to a new system. It's revolutionary. So therefore, if it's revolutionary, we are not going to shy away and say, we leave you with your license there because, you know, we like you. If we take it, we'll take it. Because that's what we must do, our transformation. You know? So if we have a transformation and we are apologetic to run revolution, then forget why we are elected into parliament. Why are we here? We are here to make a change. We are here to facilitate and make the lives of our people better. That's why we are here. I will not spend time and leave my home in Rustenburg with Honorable Bazan and people from KZN, Jan and all over, and come and sit here and eat those muffins there and coffee and enjoy it and say thank you very much. We are here because we are revolutionary. All of us. Cut across political parties, because each party that is here is meant to make sure that there is transformation in the country. There is no party that says we are blocking it. So let's agree on that spirit. That we want this bill, as you bring it to us, it must speak volumes, that bill, when it comes before us. It must not be a silent bill that we have to put flesh into it so that it speaks volumes. From you, as part of your deployment, DG. One day, because I want to be DG there in Jabona, every 2 months there's a new DG there. Make your mark, DG. Make your mark. And I like the approach in which you're approaching this thing. But make your mark too. So that tomorrow history can judge all of us. You know, that we have made a contribution in our time. In our time, black and white, as we are here, from different political parties, we are looking forward to accept that bill. On that note, colleagues, thank you very much. I'm talking too much because the chair is not here. If it was here, I would just say one thing there and keep quiet. So, but thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much. What's up?